Look, actually, the safer.
Someone was Ma'ira that when a person's person, for example, we spoke about Mamariach with Oichlin. So we said that when a person smooths that Oichel, really he's doing it just to spread it, a bottle of peanut butter on a bread, there's no problem. Someone was Ma'ira, which is a good point, that sometimes the caterer or the Baal of Simcha, when they spread egg on peanut or on bridge rolls, the Moshe, they want to make it look very nice and smooth, so they're doing it to miyapa the actual egg itself. That could be a problem. I did check it out today. And I said, that could be problematic, actually. Yeah, because that is done for yipui of the actual item itself. So that was what we came out with, yeah. Okay, and yesterday we spoke about, very quickly, let's go quick, about shoe polish on shoes. So we spoke about various ways of doing shoe polish on shoes. What did we say? So we said the grease-proof one, the greasy one, which is very greasy, it sticks on. That, l'chore, is a problem of mareach. Could be Tzavea, could be Ma'abib as well. That's mamish, a serious problem. I'm sure I don't use that one on Shabbos at all. And that's problematic, yeah? There's not allowed to do that on Shabbos. The liquid one is a problem of Tzavea. It's Pashas Tzavea, whether it's not Ma'area, it's a liquid. It's Tzavea, whether it's Ma'abib, questionable. But the mamish has also to do with all these shoe polishes out, really. One can't use a shoe polish on Shabbos. We spoke about shining shoes. Shining shoes is also problematic on Shabbos because you're bringing out a shine that also shouldn't be done really on Shabbos. And we spoke about shoes get dirty. You have to know, so if you put the cream on before Shabbos, for example, just wiping is no problem. As long as you don't bring out a shine, that's all right. But we're talking about bring out a shine, it could be Tzavea. It could be a shadow of Tzavea, that. You're bringing out a shine in the thing, that might make it a problem with Tzavea. Then we spoke about someone gets mud on his shoes, for example. So we said mud on one's shoes. So if it's wet, so interesting. We said yesterday, if it's wet mud, so the chayyeh will have to wash it because we said even though leather's a problem of soaking leather, of rubbing leather in water, but it's only rubbing it. To soak it in water is not a problem. So if a person goes under the tap, he turns the tap on and lets the water run over his leather shoes, then there's no problem at all. If he's got stitching on it, we said yesterday that could be more problematic because that might be a problem of malabim. Okay, that's more or less what we said yesterday. Moving on to today, very interesting over here. So today's share is about these earplugs. I've got a neighbour actually, for the last 2 or 3 weeks he's been starting his motorbike at 6:15 in the morning. So I could do with these earplugs actually. What? You got plenty? So there's no vice, so there's two different sorts of earplugs. Oh, so what's the problem with an earplug? So I went to the shop actually today. I went to a shop today, actually, but they were a bit expensive, the ones I wanted to get. You get different sorts of earplugs, it looks like. You look very surprised. I can see you're not a man of earplugs. What?
Ah,
so yeah, you should have bought some samples with you yourself.
And I remember
that from
the...
Really? Have you got the gel one?
No,
the foam is like this?
Yeah,
the foam is... The foam one's like this, right? So the one person is this one over here is the foam one. So the model, let's say you squeeze it like this. And you stick it into your ear. Sorry? Sorry? Yes, the mice is not very good. It's not very good. It doesn't help me much. But it's supposed to help. Maybe it's in the mind. I don't know what it is. The mice, this, the chora, what?
You have to use both ears.
You have to use both ears,
what?
Yeah? I find it very hard. It's an interesting thing how it works. I mean, you fix this to size, yeah? I mean, you roll it out like this, and then you stick it in your ear. Oh, the thing is that when you take it out,
let's try the other one.
No, let's get water. No, I can hear everything really. I can. It's not so good this one, but I can still hear. Yeah, it's not so good. The master, maybe you can perfect it. If you have to perfect it a bit, maybe you can do it. But these are no problem at all because when you take it out, they go back to the normal size. So you've done no issue whatsoever on Shabbos. Sorry?
I don't think any of them are
hair proof. No, does it help, man? I'm not sure if it's good. Does it help?
Yeah, the one positions where it helps the customers,
I must say, it's fine. I was at a chassid not so long ago, so there was a person who died, so I tapped him. I said, hello, how are you doing and everything? He didn't say a word to me. So I said, hello, is everything all right? He didn't say not a word. And I tapped him on the shoulder, and he takes half of his ear. Couldn't believe it. Took out of his ear, two earplugs. No wonder he didn't hear me.
Yeah, good ones.
But those were good earplugs. Those were good. Those must be very good. The mice is the one in the music.
The trouble is, it got good ones. It looks like us, there's the way it was all the time.
Are they wearing earplugs or are they wearing something over the
ears? Musicians need it because they're standing right by the mic.
I wonder, I should have gone to this concert yesterday in Heaton Park to find out how they manage it. You can hear the noise there. They must also be wearing special earplugs. So, Maisa, the kids said, these earplugs over here, which Maisa, you fold up and you put in your ear, and as soon as you take them out, they unfold. They go back to the normal position. That causes no problem whatsoever. You're not doing anything, Maisa. You're not doing anything at all. It's not that's talking about machik. If you rub it and it goes into the ear, and nothing happens with it. That's not an issur machik. The issur machik is only lemaisa. I suppose it's got some permanency to it. This is nothing at all. The Aruch HaShabbos, he brings down over here. The Aruch HaShabbos, there's Aruch HaShabbos here. Perachet Halacha Lamed Dalet. He speaks about earplugs actually. Perachet Lamed Dalet. Be'in Hashem B'kikyo Znaim. Yesh Lach Meishnei Sum. There's two different sorts. He says. Number one, Pekakwa Suim Mechoim Esvoigi, this one over here, it's a sponge one which you put in. Ashe'enem Makabal Tsuro Kavu, it doesn't have a fixed permanency to it when you stick it into the ear. But with Choyz the Tsurosa Rishon, Achet Tsurosa Rishon, you take it out, it goes back to its normal shape.
Isn't foam
a
sponge the same thing?
Yeah, I suppose it's the same thing. But foam is probably a bit harder. But otherwise, it goes out, and the stomach comes back to its natural shape after you take it out. That is no problem with using that at all on Shabbos, as long as that's you. But the ones that are designed to fit into your ear and they shape according to your ear. Now, I went into the shop today to look for one. I couldn't find it, actually. But those ones are much better, yeah? They form mummish in the ear to your ear. And they stretch, they fit into the position of your ear as they are. So there you rub it and you mould it into position. Yeah, but that's an interesting point. One comes to that moment. So the first time you put it in your ear, for example, yeah, and your first time put it in on Shabbos, the chayyah there you have to work with it in order to get it into the right position. That is the problem. Even the second time, the chayyah you have to know because anything which is shayyah through your ear on, it could be there's a gezeiros. Even though now it's okay, but first of all, it could go out of position. You might knock it or something. It's possible you might knock it. So it might lose a bit of smoothness. So whenever there's a chashash that you might go out of its position and you have to do mamareach it, then it's also to use. So that lechoyer, that second sort is also to use. I'd say I haven't seen the second sort. If anyone's got a type of this second sort, I would like to see it.
You're talking about wax.
Wax is awesome. I don't know how, the shop I went to there actually, it was very expensive. It was $4.99, but it was wet. It's actually called wax. But I don't know what that does. I'm not sure what that does. You can only use it once, it looks like.
No, why?
I don't know how it works. What happens to you? It looks like a small packet. It's very, very expensive. It's $4.99. I think you get 20 in a packet, is it there?
Shop.
Sorry?
Which shop did you go to?
I'm cheating where it was. No, I can't remember. It's a super dry. I know what it's called. Next to opposite Boots. I can't remember what's called that shop. What?
Cheap.
All cheap. Didn't you get there? They're all cheap together. What?
Pound World.
No, it's all cosmetics there. It's got savers. Something savers. It's all full of all these stuff. Toilet. All full of toiletries. Mice was expensive, this one. I wanted to see what it was. That was a wax one. That was a wax plug. What that does is, I'm not sure, but wax is so much worse. Yeah, wax you work in to mould it into the shape. That is much more like shavu magic. That is worse. So the chayyah depends what sort of air thing it is they're allowed to.
Shavu magic in a sponge as well.
Not this. It goes back to the shape. I'm not sure it's a sponge. It's talking about one that stays in the surah. You move it, you manipulate it in such a way that it stays in the shape. So you've rubbed it, and it stays in that shape. That's a machik. If that's shaykh on a sponge, if it's shaykh on this type to have something like that, that's a machik. Doesn't have to end.
Memory
foam,
we go to sleep on the bed.
They're not rubbing anything there. You don't rub anything there. Here you rub it, yeah? You fall asleep there. I'm not sure that's called rubbing. Lying down something, I'm going to a shame, I'm not sure that's called machik. I don't know, you have to rub something to do a pool of rubbing. The malocha of machik is a mice of rubbing. The person sits in something, he makes something smooth, I'm not sure if that's machik.
But this sponge, not rubbing it in the ear, it gets into...
No, but you rub before, you shape it before, you rub it like this first. Before you put it in, you rub it to get it into the
shape
right shape.
It, you know, that's the shape.
Don't be ashamed.
It's small enough to get
But that's the
point.
I understand, but that's the machi. You're rubbing, you're maneuvering it to get to a shape, and it's going
to
stay in that shape.
I understand.
I understand. As long as it stays in that shape. And what happens when you take it out?
If it
goes back to its normal shape, when you means after you put it into your ear, it goes back to its normal thing. That's not core machi. Machi has to be, it's like a permanent thing. You've left something, you've made a rotation of something which stays in that position. If when you rub this and it goes into your ear, it stays in that position. When you take it out, it goes back again, expands back again. That possible thing is not called machi. If it stays in that position, you've manipulated it in such a way that it now stays in that position, that is the problematic. That's what
I'm saying. That you're rubbing actually comes in the shape. You're not rubbing it into the shape of your heel.
Well, that's a shape boundary, but as long as you smooth it, you're doing some action of smoothing on something, that is
the
problem.
It's not about you, because you think it's not staying in that shape.
Could be, even if it moves a bit.
You put it into the ear and then expands.
Even if it expands a bit, but it'll stay in that shape.
That's even if it stays, but you didn't do that.
But you moved it, you smoothed it.
You just said it goes in, and then it expands.
I don't know what that is. Normally, I don't know how it normally works like that. Normally, a normal thing is you move it into a shape.
What's the shape of the ear?
Yeah, it probably expand a bit, you're right, but you make it a small size, it goes here, and then it expands it. It has to move a bit, it's true, it has to move a bit, otherwise nothing. It has to move a little bit by itself. But you're still smoothing it into a shape. You've made a shape which will more or less stay as it is. Yeah, I want to know. The mice said cotton wool with oil to put it in oil the mushroom, and then rub it to put it into your ear. That's also a problem, machi. Yeah, you're smoothing it. You're making it, I mean, a thick oil. Obviously, we're talking about such a thing like that. The possible say is a problem. To wear such a thing the mushroom on Shabbos in the street, let's say someone's got an earache, so he wants to take cotton wool and make it into a ball to put into his ear. You have to do that. So it could be a shabakapatish, actually. It could be he's made it, let's say he's a big cotton ball, and he rolls it up, and he mixes it with oil, or he mixes it with something, and he puts it to make it into a hard ball. That apostle say it could be a shabakapatish. Shouldn't do that on Shabbos. But Sadhut saw there's no problem. So if someone's done it before Shabbos, and he's got an earache, so he needs it in his ear to stop the pain of his ear, cold air going into his ear, that is mutzah. Walking in the street with Sadhut saw is not a problem. But it's not the issa of, the issa of making on Shabbos, one should make it. Tearing cotton wool off the big piece and then, moving it down, that could be a shadow career as well. So, to make it into a ball on Shabbos, one should not do. That's the halacha of, And Shlomo Zalman says, interesting, if someone takes a piece of tissue and he just sticks it into his ear, just so that the air doesn't go in, he's not making any really, he just sticks it into his ear. That he says is okay, actually. So the Kiddush, actually, that's not called makapata. It's not called making a keni. It's nothing to it, really. That's okay to make on Shabbos. I know it's not a season now, but the moshel a snowball, to make a snowball. What's the problem making a snowball on Shabbos? Or is there no problem? What? First of all, snowball stays there. If you make a good snowball, I can see you can make a good snowball. Good snowball that you make. First of all, shape it. It could be a shalab boina. Some possible hold a shalab boina. It could also be a shalab mamachik. Because a normal good snowball, if you want to make it nice, a good hard one, so you pat it around the sides and you make it that it's nice and firm. That could be, the possible say, it could be a shalab mamachik, actually. What's I'm going to tell you? Why is it not mamachik? Sorry? And then last could be, but that's also still a problem.
As soon as you finish it, the melting process begins. It might happen very slowly.
It's also true. Why some Tamachokam might come on and say, I hope there's no malachi. Why might someone say there's no malachi? Oh, very good. Tamachokam, very good. So, the Meister, a person might come on time and there's no malachi ba'ichlin. We had a big shaila already a few days ago. We spoke about it. Is there an issur mamachik ba'ochel? So we said, make a hadin by ochel, there's no mamachik, yeah? That's why you can spread peanut butter on your bread, you can put butter on your bread, you can put cream on your cake, we said, if you're not intending to make it a yipui. We said there's a tovel or brocha if a person wants to make it look nice and smooth. But that only, we said this a few times, very people make a big mistake, is that only works when you're going to eat the food. If a person takes margarine, for example, and he spreads it on his lips, to make his lips liquidy, he wants to make it not dry out. So besides the issur refuah that could be on Shabbos by Moreach as well, even though it's a food, but since it's not a food that's being eaten, it's not being used for eating purposes.
Snow is not meant to eat.
I'm saying, so therefore it won't help, it'd be a problem of Moreach. That's why snow could be tackled a problem of Moreach, because there it's not meant to be eaten. So to make a snowball on Shabbos, is also to do lechayr. Either it's as boina or it's as mareach. To make a snowman is also both those problems. Plus, it could be an issur kosev because you're making a nice surah if you make a good snowman. First of all, I don't remember saying this, but it's very possible. I can't remember what the halacha speaks about a steam window. So what are you saying from that? So what? Made of what? But maybe that mummy falls away. This snowman will last for a long time. It could last for a long, long time. It could last for a week or so. But cold's man, the sun hasn't shined. It's going to fall away. Steam on a window more or less fades more or less very quickly. It's much less of hayoma than it is of a snowman. So a snowman could be a shell of kosher taka. What would you say, Rabbi? Is there any way to use use snowballs on Shabbos? Very good. Well, I said, why would you make the snowballs before Shabbos? I see you played this game before on Shabbos. Let's say, if you made the snowballs before Shabbos, you've got some friends coming around, you're going to feel excited, you see that? You're looking very excited for snowballs, huh? Oh, are you allowed to make snowballs before Shabbos, for example? Have them ready in the garden, you've got 20 snowballs, and a few of your friends come down the street, you don't like them so much, you want to throw them. Let's talk about Yom Tov better, the Yom Tov, whatever. Is there a problem? What could be a problem? That's also true, maybe. Anything else?
You lose all your friends.
That's another problem, that's true. Yeah, what other problem? One could tell, the mice is wrong. Someone could tell it's soisa. Because as the snowball crumbles up, that's so. It's nice. It's wrong. It's like making cheese on Shabbos. Yeah, making cheese on Shabbos is boina. No one says if you eat cheese on Shabbos, you'll be able to soisa, because you're not undoing all the particles that you're doing. Here with the snowball, everything is made together. It's just disintegrating, whatever it is, falling apart. It's not all the different pieces that are there together fall apart. Maybe it's not soisa. So practically speaking, you're right, besides your friends that you might lose, the maisa, throwing a snowball on Shabbos, Yom Tov, is not a problem if it's been prepared before Shabbos. Okay, that's snowballs. Another thing that's important is as well, which we did touch on, I just want to speak about a bit more, so the Aruch HaShabbos is very busy with this actually, and that is Lamosh Litznagei more to Yom Tov, yeah? On Yom Tov, people have got candles which they want to set into the candelabra. So the normal way you do the Lamosh Litznagei, Aruch HaShabbos, you repair the candles. What the normal way of doing it is you melt the wax at the bottom and then you stick it into the candelabra, into the candlesticks. Mitzav that, if you just take the candle and stick it straight down, the Mogen Avraham brings someone who says that's Mahi. The Mogen Avraham says that he's Cholik. He says pushing down, just a pushing down motion is not Mamachik. Mamachik means to smooth it, means you rub it on one way. The Mogen Avraham says, I agree that to put cans in a candlestick on Shabbos is Osa, because it's very likely that a person is going to move it a bit to get it into the right position. That means that if it would be just that you just stick it down, you push it down, it stays as it is, and there's no problem. But among Avraham says it's very likely with candles that a person might move it a bit to the right, a bit to the left to make it fit it properly. And therefore, he holds it's a gezeira of Hashem Yomareach, and therefore one may not do this on Shabbos. So the Maisa, what does one on Shabbos? I know we can't do it. But the Maisa on Yom Tov, what can you do on Yom Tov? So a person wants to put his candles into his candlestick, he wants to put his candles into his candelabra. How can he do that on Yom Tov? What can he do? Oh, so one eighth is very good. One eighth is possible. What, you're talking about silver foil holders or what? Right, so either what you do is you cut a little piece of foil before Yom Tov, and you can wrap it around the candle at the bottom. That means it's got like it's held in position. What? Hold it together. And it sticks into the candelabra. Hold it in position. Sorry?
Apple peel.
Yeah, I mean, you can use anything you can wedge in there. If you can wedge anything in there to hold it in position, that's also no problem. Yeah, anything you can do like that, you can wedge in. You can buy these actual, I don't know what they're called, they've got these
silver dishes.
Yeah, silver dishes, where the candle is, that's also right. But to melt it down and put it down, that lechayr is problematic. That one should not do. That's a candlestick. Wedge it in, either way like that is also right. And finally, before we end the market, one other thing that's interesting, I don't know if we ever touched on this, is a person sharpens a knife on Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah brings out that sharpening a knife on Shabbos is an issur machik. You're smoothing out the blade. Machir Patish one has to know, because it could be, that's an issur shayla. If the knife doesn't work at all, that means his mummy's blunt, it's not cutting at all, then Lechoy might be shayla Machir Patish to make it to what you call it. If the knife is basically cut, but you want to make it sharper, so it won't be Machir Patish, but Lechoy will be a problem of mamachik. Masankes, that's the case of mamachik, of Machir Patish. If the keli really works, that was the old shayla that most of the people used to give, you know, used to have these people used to come around and sharpen knives outside your house. They used to have a little wheelbarrow or something. Shayla is, if you give it to someone to do it,
Are you mechuyev to tovel that keli again afterwards? Is it a new keli? Has it got a din of a new keli for tefilas keli? If the Rabbi, I think the Rabbi says, if the knife was so blunt that he couldn't use it, and now he's about to sack him it, that's a proper tikkun, that needs to be, what do you call it, that needs to be the tefilas keli. If the knife was usable, then you don't have to. Okay, Rabbi, so.